Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 7. We'll read Hosea, the whole entire chapter of Hosea 7, verses 1 to 16. Please pay careful attention to God's word as you hear it read and read it. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they have committed fraud. A thief comes in. A band of robbers take spoil outside. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. They make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, like an oven heated by a baker. He ceases stirring the fire after kneading the dough until it is leavened. In the day of our king, princes have made him sick. Inflamed with wine, he stretched out his hand with scoffers. They prepare their heart like an oven while they lie in wait. Their baker sleeps all night. In the morning, it burns like a flaming fire. They are all hot like an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings have fallen. None among them calls upon me. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here, and they're on him, yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. But they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chastise them according to what their congregation has heard. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They did not cry out to me with their heart when they wailed upon their beds. They assemble together for grain and new wine. They rebel against me, though I disciplined and strengthened their arms. Yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, we do plead with you now, Lord, that you would use the reading and preaching of your word to minister to your people, to minister to our hearts, to lift up those who are downcast, to encourage those who are struggling, and to strengthen us in our faith in you, O Lord. We pray, Father, that you would change us. Cause us, Lord, to be walking today upon hearing your word more in faith and obedience, and turning to you when we have sinned, when we have transgressed against you, to turn back to you for the healing that you so desire to give. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at Hosea chapter 7. We're looking at the great physician. There are points in Scripture where if you don't pay close attention to them, you will miss the sense of a passage. And it is the case here in this chapter 7 that if we are not careful to see how God starts out here with verse 1, when I would have healed Israel, we will miss the sense of what God is saying. And what God is saying is that he is the great physician. He is the one who heals his people. You may recall almost 2 years ago now that when I first came here as your pastor, that I was coming alone and that Cynthia was back in Indiana, and was about to have surgery, and on her neck and inside her face. When we went to one doctor, the first doctor told us, "Oh, I recognize that you have a growth on your neck, and so we're going to do some kind of scan to find out what is there." And so they did that. And they said, "Oh, that's something more than we can handle. We're going to send you to a specialist. They're going to do a more detailed, thorough examination." And when the doctor did that, he came out and said, "Yeah, your doctor was right. You do have a tumor there that needs to be removed. But even more importantly, you have one up under your brain about the size of a tennis ball that must be removed." You can imagine how thankful we were to have that greater scan and that more detailed examination, because this tumor could eventually have been problematic for her in a great way. Even more joy was added to us as we had conversation with the surgeon, who was a professing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We even prayed together, and he prayed for us, and he prayed for this church as he found out why we were scheduling surgery when we were, and what we needed to have happen is because we are moving here soon. It was a real comfort to have a physician have done a real thorough examination and be able to tell us what the problem was and to be able to tell us what the solution was as well. Doctors and nurses and hospitals are all about healing and restoration of the body. But while they are limited, they cannot do everything. They cannot do everything even for the body. They especially have no power to do anything for your soul. But the Lord does. The Lord does. He is the sole physician. Doctors and nurses in hospitals are completely unequipped to do anything for the healing of your soul, to make you whole spiritually, those of you, and it includes all of us, who need to be healed. And as I mentioned before reading the scripture, when we think about sin, we think about forgiveness. But we must also not forget about healing, because healing is needed. It is something that only God can do in these matters. And because it is so briefly stated here in Hosea chapter 7 and right at the beginning, in comparison to as I read to you the rest of the chapter, you might have been thinking, "Well, we have heard this before over and over again. We've heard about these different sins. We've heard about Israel's neglect of God." And that's why I want to highlight to you that the sense of this passage is that God is calling out to Israel and calling out to His people and saying, "I was ready to heal you. I was ready to restore you and make you whole." And if we're not careful, we can miss that as we get caught up in all the sins and all the similes. There's four of them here that we're going to look at. All the pictures, we can get caught up in these things, and rightly so, but not at the neglect of the sense of this passage is that God had a desire and is His desire to heal His people. For as it was in the days of Israel, it is also in our days, just like when it comes to our physical bodies. We don't always like to go to the doctor. We don't want to put up with the time that it takes. We don't want to put up with the time that we have to wait or find a place to park. It's really, the symptoms are not that bad, and we think we can just get through them. And sometimes we are like that with our sin. We can think, "Well, I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and that's really all I need." When in reality, we also need healing. And it is the Lord Himself who is the great physician that is able to bring healing. And so we must be warned and we must be encouraged and exhorted to not do with our souls what we sometimes do with our bodies and our doctors at the hospital. We need to come to God for healing. And I would ask the question from the very beginning. Do you think you need healing from your sin? Do you think you need to be made whole? The Bible does. And the Bible talks about healing spiritual healing often. We've already just sang about it this afternoon. And so the Hosea chapter 7 presents to us, the Lord is our great physician, the one who heals, who wants to heal you, who wants you to come to Him that you may be restored. And so these are the things we're going to look at in Hosea chapter 7. And I'm going to be dealing with them not verse by verse, but kind of under three themes. And the first theme is that the great physician has a great readiness to heal you. A great readiness to heal you. He is more ready to heal you than you are ready to be healed. He has a great readiness to heal you. That's in verse 1. Then we will see the great vision of the great physician. Like that doctor that was looking at Cynthia's X-rays and CAT scans, this doctor sees everything. There's nothing that he misses in our soul. He has a great vision, which makes him the great physician. We'll see this in verses 1 and 2 and in multiple verses throughout chapter 7. And then thirdly, there are great pictures from the great physician. He not only tells Israel and us what their sin is, but he tells them what they are like in their sin, and he gives them pictures for them to remember it by. And that is something that we are familiar with. We are familiar with in the Bible. We are familiar with those pictures when we go to the doctor and they do some kind of scan. And nowadays, and for years, they've been able to print that scan off and show us exactly where the problem is, as far as much as they can see. So we're going to look at first then the great readiness of the great physician to heal us. Now look at Hosea chapter 7, verse 1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered and the wickedness of Samaria. For they have committed fraud. A thief comes in and a band of robbers take spoil outside. Right at the beginning here of verse 1, there are two words that have to do with time or timing. The first one is when I would have healed Israel. And then the second word is then. Then I discovered something, or something was exposed. And so the word when here reveals there was a time when God was ready to heal Israel. And what does that indicate? You don't heal people who are doing great. You don't heal people who have no issues. You heal people who are sick. You heal people who have symptoms of disease or something, injury or something like that. And so the very word when reveals that there was a time when God was ready to heal them and they were already in a sick condition. God was ready to heal them, to forgive them, to reconcile them to Himself, healing their relationships amongst each other, healing their relationship with Him. He was ready to receive their sacrifices for sin in their worship. Our God is a ready physician. He is ready because He is able to heal all our diseases. He is ready because He is full of mercy and compassion. This characterizes who God is. He is a healing God. Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 6 speak of God's means of healing from us, from our sin and sickness. These words from Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 6. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. It is a great mercy of God that He has given us knowledge of the human body, that we have doctors and nurses who are trained by people with a great knowledge of the operation and the function and the restoration that is built into the human body. Our doctors and our nurses and our specialists, they use all this knowledge to help us and to promote healing. We even have one of the trainers here in our congregation, in Ron Freeman, who trained people for years in their preparation to become doctors. We have nurses amongst us who are working or being trained in this field of caring for our bodies. But there is not one of them or one of anyone in their field who knows all things about the body. That's why we have specialists. That's why we go to various certain specialists, because not everyone knows everything. No doctor, no nurse, no instructor knows all there is to know about the human body. But with the Lord as your physician, that's different. There's not one thing He doesn't know about your soul, about your body. He is able to diagnose, identify the issues, prescribe the right treatment, take you through the right surgery, and apply the right therapy. And He has been calling Israel to come to Him for healing. We saw this back in chapter 6, verse 1, where the Scripture says, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has stricken us, but He will bind us up." This is who God is. He is a healer. And even though our spiritual disease is self-inflicted by our own sinful desires, the Lord remains ready to heal, to make us whole. So when is the Lord ready to heal? He is always ready to heal those who come to Him with repentant hearts, hearts broken about their sin and acknowledging they have sinned against God. That's when God is ready. When man humbles himself before the Lord and comes repenting and seeking His healing. He is a ready physician. He is a great physician. Now the other word here in verse 1 that is used for time is the word then. The Lord was ready to heal, but then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered. Upon examination by the great physician, deeper issues were found. And the latter part of verse 1 tells us, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered and the wickedness of Samaria. Ephraim is used just as the name of the biggest tribe in Israel, as to represent all of Israel. Samaria was the capital cities, and these terms represented all of Israel. And so, as the great physician was ready to heal, the great physician was calling them back to Himself. Say, come and get healing, I'll bind you up. Then it was exposed that there was even more wickedness. There was more transgressions, more iniquities amongst the people of Israel as the great physician put His vision upon the issues. And that's what we see in verses 1 and 2, the great physician and His vision. Now, when we see this word then, it is not to say that God was surprised to find out that there was sin in His people. God is not bound by time. He sees all things all the time. And so it's just communicating to us, when He would have done this, then He exposed their sin and their wickedness. He is speaking to us as a man speaks to another, and we see that there was this readiness of the great physician. But upon being ready, He saw more and more, and this increasing and this progressive wickedness that was going on in all of Israel. And so it is true for us as well. Like things in our bodies, they often start out as small. Those who have cancer that has riddled their body and is throughout their body, it didn't start out that way. It starts out as one cell. It starts, and that's the way it is with most of our diseases or physical body issues, and that's the way it is with sin as well. Sin does not usually manifest itself in one egregious, wicked, scandalous sin all of a sudden. There were little sins that were building up to this. You can look at your life, and you can test what I'm saying there and see that's how sin works, just like a disease in our bodies. Throughout chapter 7, we see their sins as they are now, but they didn't start this way. What's being recorded here in chapter 7 was not where Israel was at one time. The nation of Israel came about because of a dividing of the kingdom, because of a king who would not obey the Lord. It started out with sin of disobedience. But even when that kingdom was separated, God told that king, if you will walk in my ways, I will bless you. But that king led that nation not to walk in God's ways. They first started out worshiping false idols in places not prescribed by God. They first started out by making calves that weren't to be gods in themselves. They were to be idols that represented the one true God, and they would worship them in different places so they didn't have to make the journey to Jerusalem. Then they started worshiping other gods, not just images of God, so to speak, but other gods. So progressively getting worse. Then in that worship, they started committing prostitution and adultery and drunkenness. These are the things that are listed throughout Hosea chapter 7 and other places that we've already read. Then they progress to treating each other with violence and robbing and lying, adultery and murder, being merciless to one another. One of the charges that was in the previous chapters was that there was no mercy in Israel amongst the people. And then they moved on to mixing themselves with the other nations to be like them. Then seeking healing from other nations who could not heal them of their sin. Lying about God, rebelling against God and His law, and breaking His covenant. These things have become and been getting progressively worse. All the while, God was calling to them, "Come to me that I may heal you." This is a great physician. But as God sought to heal them, He looked at them and saw their iniquities had increased, getting worse and worse. In the care of our bodies, doctors have specialized scanning equipment such as X-rays and CT scans and MRIs and ultrasound machines that can look very deep into our bodies. But even those machines can't see everything. Sometimes exploratory surgery is required to see what the problem is. Sometimes a doctor has to go in, cut and remove and move things out of the way so he can see where the problem is. God is like that, but He sees everything. Verse 2 tells us that they did not realize that God saw and remembered all their wickedness. They did not remember that they and their sinfulness was right there in front of His face. He saw it. He remembered it. We may be tempted to look at that with a negative connotation. But I want to encourage you to be thankful for this. I want to encourage you to be just as you would towards a doctor looking at your body. And he says, we've got to use another machine to look deeper. And then he finds that problem. How thankful are you when he finds that problem, had he not seen it with his own eyes or the other lesser machine? But now that problem has been identified. How thankful we would be in that case, and how thankful we should be to the Lord, the great physician who sees everything. And because he sees everything, he can address everything. Because he sees everything, he has a solution for all our sin, sickness, and disease. No sin is hid from his eyes. Something to be thankful for. Something to say to God, thank you, Lord, for seeing everything. Because I don't see everything. I don't see everything in my own heart. I don't see everything in my own life. I don't see everything that I do that may be hurting people. I don't see everything that I say that may be hurting people. And I don't see everything that's in my own heart that I may not do or say to anyone else that is hurting me. But the Lord sees it. It's right in front of His face. That's His vision. And that's something that we should be thankful for. Psalm 90 verse 8 says, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of His countenance. That's something that we sing in praise to God. It's something that we should be thankful for, that that's how He operates. He doesn't miss anything. And that's for our good. Also here in verse 1, after the word then, it says, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered. The word iniquity here means perversion. And perversion means the alteration of something from its designed course. You know that. Whenever you see somebody doing something that is against what something was designed for. In our culture, in our Christian culture, we call that a perversion. Sin and iniquity is a perversion. It is to turn away from walking with the Lord, which is His designed course for you. To walk with God and to be in fellowship with Him. But what do we see in Israel and in our own lives? Here we see this list of many sins. And we've gone through these sins many times already as we've made our way through this chapter, this book. But there is something else here that is sown throughout this passage. Throughout chapter 7, you will see there is a running theme of perverting the course God had for them. That is not only that they are sinning and breaking against His law, but once they had done that, God had also set a course for them to come back to Him in repentance and be restored and be forgiven. That's the course that God has laid for them to come back, but they had perverted even that course. Their iniquity included not only turning away from the Lord and His law, but once they had done that, to not turn back to Him again to receive the healing that He offered. I want you to see these phrases that are here as these themes run their way throughout this book, this chapter 7. In verse 7, the latter part of verse 7, after listing their sins and what they have done, He says, "None among them calls upon Me." They're not going the course that I have made for them to come and be restored and to be healed. Then we see in verse 10 a similar thing. "But they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek Him for all this." Verse 13. "Woe to them, for they have fled from Me." They're going a different course. They're going a perverted way. Even after they had sinned and God has promised to heal them, and says, "Come back this way, this course that I've designed for you sinners to be restored and made whole," they continue to go the perverted way. Verse 14, "They did not cry out to Me with their heart." In verse 16, "They returned, but not to the Most High." What a tragedy. That even after they had sinned against the Lord, He offers them healing, and they continue to pervert the way that He has designed for them. They are like a man who has access to the best doctors, to the best medicine, to the best therapy, but he will not go and take advantage of it. They are like a man who goes to the doctor, gets the exam and the scans, hears the diagnosis and the instructions to come and get care, but then never returns. The Lord sees all our sins. His soul vision is great and makes Him a great physician. And He calls to us to come to Him in a certain way, a way that He has designed, the way of repentance and faith and believing that He will heal us from our sin. The problem is that one of our conditions is that we are blind to our sins and sin's destruction. And so we pervert the way that God has made. Verse 9 tells us aliens or foreigners have devoured their strength and they don't know it. Gray hairs are upon them and they don't know it. And oftentimes we are blind to what sin does to us. We don't know it. We don't go to the doctor because we can't see the need to go. But sin is always destroying something. Sin is always destroying a relationship. It's always destroying a person or persons. And sin is blocking our fellowship with God when we leave it unrepented of. But the Lord says, I am ready to heal you. I am ready. Come, and I will heal you, and I will bind you up. In a similar way, when the prophet Jeremiah was speaking to the nation of Judah, in Jeremiah 8, verse 21 and 22, we read these words from the Lord, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Just think of that, how the Lord is communicating to us here. The Lord is astonished at something. What can astonish the Lord? He knows all. He sees all. There is nothing new to Him. And yet here He is astonished. It's taken hold of Him. And He asked this question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? The answer is, there is a balm there. There is a physician. There is healing. And then He asked, why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? It's because they would not come. They would not go to the physician. And that balm that was there for them, that physician that was there for them, and now for us, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not to heal those who are well, but those who are sick. This idea of healing that we need for our souls is not just an Old Testament principle. Jesus came to heal those with sin-sick souls. He is that balm in Gilead. He is that physician that was there to heal Israel and Judah, and He is that physician who is here today to heal you and I. He is the one who came not to those who are well, but to those who are sick, for He did not come to call the righteous, the sinners, to repentance. He did not come to call those who said, I don't need a doctor, I'm in good shape. He came to call those who said, oh, how much I need a doctor. How much I need healing. That's who He came to call to repentance. But here in Israel, they would not come. They would not return to the Lord for healing. They would not repent of their sins. But let us not look at this just from a historical perspective. But let us ask ourselves, are we coming to the Lord for healing? Are we asking the Lord to heal things that are broken? To restore things that have been torn down? Our own lives because of sin? Our relationships with other people because of sin? Are they not in need of healing? God says, I was ready to heal you. But then I saw your sin. And this sin was a sin of non-repentance, not turning back to the Lord, crying out to other people to heal them when they could not, coming to the Lord, coming, returning to, as verse 13 says, woe to them, for they have fled from me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies. They did not cry out to me with their heart when they wailed upon their beds. They return, they come back, but not to the Most High. They want something. They come back for something, but not in the way that I have called them to come back. As we hear God's word today, we are being called by the great physician to submit to His vision of what He sees in our life. He sees it all. It's right before His face, to see that we have departed from Him and to return to Him who is ready to heal you. Yes, to forgive you, but also to restore you. To restore you to spiritual soul health. But sometimes, as it is with a doctor, with our bodies, sometimes words are not enough. Sometimes a doctor can come out and give you a diagnosis and it just doesn't stick with you, or you don't understand what he was saying. We like to see those pictures of those x-rays and those CT scans and the ultrasound and the MRIs. It was one of those kind of pictures of an MRI that revealed Cynthia's bigger tumor underneath her brain. But God also works that way. He gives us words, but He also gives us pictures. And that's what we see here in the rest of chapter 7, that God, the great physician, has given us great pictures to show us what our sin is like and what we are like. And these pictures we would call similes. In other words, they are comparisons of one thing that is like another. And so, like when we say something like, he is like a tree planted by a river, that is a simile. When you see the words, he is like a, like, similar, that's a simile, a form of communication and seeking to emphasize something here. And so here in chapter 7, God uses similes that we can picture in our minds to help us see just how astonished he is that we won't come back to get healing from him. Astonished, the Lord said. That while there is a balm and while there is a physician, my people won't come for healing. And so these pictures that we have here before us, we're going to look at them. The first picture we find in verses 4 to 7, it is a picture of an oven. Now the oven of those days, we don't need to think of them like our ovens today. They had ovens, they may have been made of clay and things like that, but they had a live fire going on underneath those things or under stones in which they would cook things. And so the baker would start a fire in an oven and burn it hot. And then if he was fixing bread, he would form the bread and knead the bread and put the leaven in the bread and let it rise overnight. But the flames were so hot that the coals would still be there in the morning. He could go to sleep. And that fire being so hot, he could wake up the next day and all he had to do was stir up those coals because it was so hot. What's the point of this picture? Sin is always ready to be stirred up. And Israel was always ready to be stirred up to sin. Sin is with us all the time. It points to our sin nature. And so we must be watching out for sin which is hot, hot within us, ready to be stirred up and inflamed. And Israel was so far into sin, they were like a burning oven. They were on fire for sin, ready to be stirred up and inflamed at any moment. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27 to 29 tells us you can't play with hot coals and not be burned. And so often we think that we can dabble with sin. We just touch it just a little bit. We'll just get near it. We'll just experience it just a little bit. Not the big ones, but just a little bit. And we will not get burned. But the problem is, friends, the sin is not some inanimate object. And the sin nature within us is not something that goes away in this life. We all can recognize that we're ready to sin. We're ready to have our sin nature inflamed and heated up and to participate in a temptation that the devil would bring to us. So let us not think we can dabble with sin because the sin nature is still there and it's ready. Just needs a little bit of stirring up. Secondly, we see a picture of that of a half-baked cake or a cake that is not turned. And so, like a flat cake that has been cooked on one side, we might think of a tortilla or a pancake in our culture, but it's cooked on one side, but not cooked on the other. It's doughy and raw, and so it's not good for anything. You wouldn't want to eat it. Here in verse 8, it tells us Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. And the cake unturned, not fully cooked, is not good for anything. It's to be thrown out. And so they were like an unturned cake. They were good on one side, but not the other. Charles Feinberg, in his commentary, said of this simile, in Israel, the outward performance was cooked nicely, but the inward indifference to the things of God was raw and uncooked. It is easy for us to be half-baked cakes. He goes on to say, we have much of doctrine, but little of deed. That's a cake unturned. He says, we have much of creed, but little of conduct. That's half done. Much of belief, but little of behavior. Much of principle and little of practice. That was Israel's state. And we have to be careful that we do not fall into that same state as well. And that's why it's good that we give thanks to God, that He sees everything. And He shows us everything. He is not like a bad doctor who feels so bad about the diagnosis that he has seen that he just hates that he has to tell you this. And so afraid or maybe so scared of how you're going to respond, he doesn't want to tell you. But God is telling us here because he sees it all and it's right before his face and he doesn't forget it all. He is telling us here what our situation is, what the diagnosis is. And what we have to watch out and what we have to be careful of not being deceived into thinking in regards to this picture is that we are cooked just right. We are a nicely cooked cake. When there is sin in our lives that remains unconfessed, we must be careful not to think that the external things take care of those internal sins, or that our external behavior takes care of being healed by God, because it doesn't. The third picture is that of a silly dove without sense. We see this here in verse 11. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. They think they can escape God's net. But God says, wherever they go, I will trap them. Israel had called out to Egypt and Assyria for help rather than the Lord. They thought these nations could deliver them. They thought these nations could restore them. All the while the Lord was willing to heal them, they were calling out to other nations. And that would be like someone who has repeated evidence from his doctor. Here's the symptom. Here's the diagnosis. Here's what needs to happen. But then you go elsewhere for help. Maybe you hear it again, the same thing, but you go elsewhere for help. You're like a silly dove. How often do we look to the world for help? How often do we look to the world for healing in our own life or the relationships that we have with people? When it only can come from one place, the great physician. The fourth picture is found in verse 16. Which is like a treacherous bow. A deceitful bow is what the word here is. The idea here is of a bow that does not shoot straight or that one that recoils back at the shooter. They returned, but not to God. This could be meaning they came in an external way with bulls and goats, as has been mentioned, but not with repentant hearts. They are like a bow that does not function well, missing the mark. These are the pictures that God has given His people, has given to us, to stick with us. A hot oven, a half-turned cake, a silly dove, and a treacherous bow. These are not things that portray their sins. These are things that portray them. These are things that God has given us to remember, that when we go off course, when we pervert His way, when we break His law and then do not return to Him for healing, this is what we're like. And God shows us these things so that we won't be going down this perverted path of trying to find other means and not returning to Him. So right now, if you are listening and hearing God's Spirit, you should be able to picture these things. And you should be asking the Spirit of God to say, make application of my life. Where am I like an oven? Where am I easily stirred to sin? And where am I not returning back to God when I have sinned? God has given us these pictures so that we will return to Him as the great physician. And that great physician is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to heal and to save. The same for them and is the same for us, that it is through His shed blood that He does heal us. And this is not just a salvation issue. This is a daily life sanctification issue as well. And though we are free from the slavery and entrapment of sin, we're not sin is not our master any longer. We still do sin and we still do need the work and care of a great physician. And so when we have sinned, and this is the case with Israel, they have sinned. And the great physician was ready to heal them through the Lord Jesus Christ. The great physician could see all their sin and revealed it to them and gave them a great diagnosis and saying, here's what you have done. Here's what needs to be done. You come back in repenting and I'll give you healing. And if you don't understand those words, let me give it to you in pictures so that you can remember. We would call this a good doctor in our day here on earth. We need something better than good for our souls. We need a great physician, and that's who we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ does not only provide forgiveness to you, He provides healing for your soul. It is Christ who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. There is a balm in Gilead, and there is a physician. There's a balm here today, and there is a physician, and it is Jesus Christ who has come to heal the sick and to call sinners to repentance. This great physician, He is ready to heal you. He sees everything that's wrong in your soul, and He is ready to make it right through His Son, Jesus Christ. He is ready to heal your relationships with others, whether it be family or work or marriage or whatever it might be, within the church, outside the church. He is ready to restore to those who come repenting in the way that He has called them to come to Him and receive healing through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we need forgiveness, but we also need this great doctor to heal us from the effects of our sin. And He is ready. He sees it. He knows what you need. And He is ready to heal you. But you must come to Him. You must come to the doctor. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank You for this word of Yours, which shows us how ready and willing and able You are to bring healing to our lives, to forgive us, to restore us, to reconcile us, to make us whole in every way. We know, Lord, that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that You would use Your word and Your spirit to encourage and call each one of Your people here today to be healed by You. We ask